Blog Talk Radio. For you. I'm your host, the Prayer Warrior, tuning in live from Tennessee. We are so glad you've decided to join us January 9th, 2015. Now on to our show. Greetings out there in Radio Land. We bring you blessings, Happy New Year again, and we're thankful that you're tuning in to Prayer Warrior for You. Now, we are here in our studio live here in Tennessee, and we want you to feel welcome to call into our line as well as to tune in by way of Skype or the Internet. We have a great segment for you today. We will be sharing a word on faith, Elijah, and Elisha. And so, of course, we will stop if someone calls in for prayer. Our line is 1-657-383-0029. But until that, we want to bless the show. We always start off with a worship song, and we want people to know that Jesus Christ is the reason for everything. Everything is because of the cross. We need you to understand that unless we submit our lives to the Lord, that really we're wasting our time, because He paid the price on Calvary. He paid the price at the cross. And so, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we lift up this show segment tonight. Father, we honor you, sir. We give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the sacrifice He paid at Calvary on the cross. And, Father, we pray that your show, that this will be a blessing that will honor you, Father, and that people will be healed, delivered, encouraged, and set free. Now, Lord, we pray that you cover the airways. We saturate it with the power of the blood. We saturate it with the power of the blood and across the power of the name. According to your word, this says, whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, and we honor you, and we love you, and we worship you, and we bless the people that will call in. We bless the people who will tune in. We bless the people who will listen in. We give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. We decree miracle signs and wonders. We decree healings. We decree encouragements. We decree sad hearts to be made joyful. We decree that on today, changed hearts and changed mindsets. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
We want to thank the Lord for his blood. Truly, God is good, and he is greatly to be praised. Now, you know, we wanted to bring about, you know, this with this being the new year, how many people are constantly doing New Year's resolutions, and they're thanking God for things, and they're pretty much declaring and proclaiming that they are going to have a changed life, a changed mindset, and that they're going to stop smoking, they'll stop doing the various acts with their bodies to have a greater health and feel better about their self. But, you know, we can declare, we can decree, we can proclaim everything and anything that we may want to do. But unless we have it in our mind and have a mindset to do what the Lord said for us to do, we can forget about it. It's not going to happen. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to get better. The late Miles Monroe said such an awesome quote. I wrote it down. I heard him speak this years, many years ago, and it was very encouraging to me. He said, "Your faith is only as strong as the test it survives. No matter how much you brag on how much faith you have, the test will reveal the quality of faith you have." Wow, that is so powerful. You know, based on what we speak out of our mouths, it's fine, but it's that test, it's that challenge, it's those oppositions that come at us from day to day. It's those things that gnaw at us in our mind and in our heart and in our emotions when storms come up against us like a flood, when people seem like they're coming up against us, when things seem to be challenging in the realm of the spirit. Our faith, as he says, is only as strong as the test it survives. So someone out there tonight may be having such a difficult test in your life. You may feel that there is no way around it, that there's nothing that can be done to change it. There's nothing that can be done to help you. There's nothing that can be done to make your life go better and work better for you. But I'm here to tell you on this evening, the test, the challenge, the trial, the opposition, the haters, the enemies, well, all it is really is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to show up in your life, the Holy Spirit to let you see the power of what you possess and carry. For those of you who have received the Holy Spirit within you, you don't know what type of dunamis, miraculous, miracle-working power that you possess unless something comes up against you, unless a storm comes up against you, unless a discouragement comes up against you, unless someone turns their back on you, unless people come against you with hateful things and stalking and harassment. You have no idea how strong your faith is until things come up against you that you have no control of, that you don't understand why it's happening to you. You may not agree with it. You may not like it. You may not understand it. Oh, but I hear a word tonight. Someone out there tuning in, it's going to turn around. It's going to get better. It's not going to be this way always. You've got to adjust your mind and to begin to have faith so that you can have a testimony. The greater the storm, the greater the testimony. The more challenging the adversarial attacks, the greater the anointing. You know, the more you pray and trust in God and lean on him and reach out to him and declare him and praise him and give him some glory, you have no idea what's resting inside of you. Now, I want to also take a pause out to give honor and condolences to the late Andre Crouch, who passed away recently on yesterday. And we just want to say we love his family. We hold them up in prayer. We pray strength upon that household, and we pray that the Lord will bless them because it's such a great loss to the music industry, a great loss to his family, his church friends, everyone who knew and loved him. And before we get into our teaching on tonight, I want to play a song in honor of Andre Crouch, in remembrance of him, because he did such a great work for the church community and writing beautiful music and writing songs to encourage the hearts and minds of people.
Jesus, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus
think I want to play a little bit of that again. You know, it's such a powerful song. We're going to play that one more time.
Bow down.
You know, everybody's going to have to bow down. Every tongue is going to confess that one day that Jesus is Lord. Why not let it be today? Why not let it be the day that you begin to confess the Lord Jesus Christ? We, again, we give honor for the life of Andre Crouch. She was powerful in music ministry, powerful in preaching ministry. Andre Crouch, we are going to miss you dearly. We thank God for the time that he allowed you to bless our lives here in the living with your music, with your ministry, with your anointing. And Father, we pray for strength for his family, his loved ones. And Father, we pray that you will give them time of comfort during this great loss. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Now on to this evening, and again, our lines are open, 1-657-383-0029 if you desire prayer. We wanted to bring to you a word of encouragement today, and we'll be taking breaks to play songs here and there throughout the hour. But, you know, 2015 has come in, and it's a new year, and we want to begin to get things set off to a good start. Many of us feel that way. Many of us want to heal relationships. Many of us want new relationships. But what about the most important relationship that matters? That relationship is your positioning yourself in your mind, in your heart, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Positioning yourself with God. Positioning yourself with the Holy Spirit. You know, everything else is just a bonus. It's just a benefit. But if you are living a life and where God has not has anything to do with your life, your decisions, you don't pray, you don't talk to God, but yet you believe in yourself and it's all about you and you have the power, money answereth all things true enough, but it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And in this time frame, many people are concentrating on loving money, loving wealth, loving gain, but they're not understanding or not desiring the gain as it is the relationship with God. And one of those areas of gain in God is your faith. Who do you believe in? What do you believe in? You know, the Bible tells us in reason, Hebrews 11, verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we are believing in something that we cannot, that we can see, why would we hope for it? Faith is such a powerful thing when you have a substance that you believe in something that you cannot see. Believe in an entity, believe in a power, believe in a being, believe in the existence of something that framed and shaped the worlds by faith. Genesis chapter 1 so eloquently breaks down faith. It breaks down how God created things into so, how he spake it out of his mouth and it was so. When we have faith in our inner man, prayer warrior for you, we're a prayer ministry that believes and strives to and light a fire into the hearts and minds of not just followers of Jesus Christ, not just believers, but people as a whole that may tune into this show so that they can begin to feel that there is a greater entity, there is a greater power, to feel that I can have control being born and nor will I have control when I die. And so when we begin to realize that there is a God out there is a God that's all-seeing and all-knowing and fills all places and sees all things and is all-powerful, when we begin to realize that and wake up from our mundaneness, wake up from how we think and how we feel, and begin to understand and realize that there's a greater power, and that one day that I'll have to stand before that greater power. I'll have to give an account to how I live my life. I'll have to give an account to how I acted. I'll have to give an account to what I felt. I'll have to give an account to where my passions and where my desires were. Now, there are many people, some of us may not have been successful in the secular world, in businesses, in jobs, but we can all be successful in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we draw closer to Him, some of us are called to ministry. Some of us are called to encourage. Some of us are called to build up. Some of us are called to walk in miracle signs and wonders. Not everyone can be a CEO of a corporation. Not everyone can start a company. Not everyone has the wherewithal to understand how to strategically hire employees and train them and build them up and encourage them so that they can start their own businesses. But some of us have a great anointing where we're able to be godly men and women, where we can build up and encourage the hearts and minds of people to turn their passions and their desires to a holy God, to a righteous God, where they will begin to go into the harvest field. When we say harvest field, we're speaking of people who are hungry for the Word, hungry for God, people who desire a closer relationship with God, people who are waiting for someone to come and give them a powerful testimony that will turn them away from their sin, turn them away from their cravingness, turn them away from their craziness, and turn them away from their negativity. Some of us have an anointing where we can speak a word in due season, where we can pray for the sick, where we can lay hands and the blind eyes open, the spiritual blind and the natural blind. Some of us have an anointing as apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists, where we can go and exhort and build up, go and equip, go and rightly divide the word of truth. And in order for us to do that, we have to have faith. We have to go through to become successful in the kingdom of God. And some of the things that come upon us try our faith and test our faith. The definition of faith, and I'll just read you briefly, God has blessed me with to write on my eighth book, and it's dealing with faith, God, and man. And faith, the Hebraic meaning as emuna is derived as a root, amen, meaning to nourish, to make strong, to make firm. It's also translated as faithfulness or loyalty rather than belief in something. See, when we have faith in something, when we have faith, we have to have more than just a belief that that thing exists. We've got to believe in it by faith. We have to show ourselves where we are faithful to it, where we are loyal to that we have faith in. We have to begin to show ourselves that if we say we believe in God, we say that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to understand that there is a root to the faith. It means to nourish. We have to nourish our faith. We have to begin to encourage and nourish other people's faith. We have to begin to speak a right now word into their present situation and believe that that word that we spoke into their life, spoke into their heart, spoke into their situation is going to shift, transition a mindset within them, light a fire within them to turn their thought process around. See, when their thought process is turned around, they are going to be encouraged. They are going to begin to see things that be not as though they are. They're going to begin to visualize, become dreamers and visionaries, that things can happen for them. But this cannot occur if there is not a faith type of a mindset. When we have faith, we are delving into the realm of the spirit, into the substance of things hoped for and things that have not yet been seen. When we have faith, we are beginning to not only say, I believe that I can be healed from cancer. I believe I can be healed from high cholesterol. I believe I can be healed. We go past the I can be to right now I am. You see, Hebrews says now faith is the substance. Well, we begin to understand what faith is and how it empowers us and how it moves us and how it shapes our present and our future. We begin to go from a can be in the down the road attitude mindset to it is a right now thing that I am going to activate that thing right now. When we begin to understand who we are in God and see ourselves the way He sees us, it doesn't matter what anyone says, what they do, how they try to do it, how they try to impose their self upon you, how they try to do things to make you different than what you are. When you have faith, God, it doesn't become about the person, the people, who said what they're doing. It becomes about what does Jesus Christ say? What does the Father say? What does he want for my life? When you begin to walk in faith, elevation in the realm of the spirit and equipping and empowerment begins to take place. And Elijah and Elisha were those type of men. They were prophets of God that walked in multiple miracles. Elijah had walked in 8 miracles, and Elisha had a double portion. And so I wanted to bring this up today because many times apostles and prophets talk about walking in a realm of miracles, to walk in miracles, signs, and wonders. It's not necessarily a miracle to go from being poor to a millionaire. Sometimes that's just a type of a discipline. Sometimes that's just doing things the right way. Sometimes that's just understanding business sense and how to put your money aside and how to invest in different things and how to activate and move things around. And then other times it could be a faith thing where you believe in something knowing you don't qualify, knowing you didn't have the background, knowing you weren't raised up in a family in a natural realm where you were raised up in a billionaire's household and someone just dumped the money in you. When you know you've been brought up poorly, or you've been brought up without money, or brought up in a family that's just an average family, and now someone walks up to you and looks at you and say, God has spoken to me to give this to you, to build you up, to send you to a school, to send you to a college, to give you your first business, to give you your first job, and they stick with you, and they work with you, and they train you, and they nourish you. Here we go. Faith, meaning to nourish. Amen. A-M-A-N, derived from the root word, meaning to nourish you. And they're stepping out there on faith with their business sense and their business knowledge, and they're taking you by the hand to make you firm, to make you strong, so that you become loyal in the field that they are grooming you to be loyal in. Faith is having an operational substance where things take place, where things happen. And so when we have faith, the word in itself is a powerful word. It is an assurance of things hoped for which we cannot see. And it is within our hearts and minds. As people, we act on what we think is a reality. To have faith is to have confidence and trust in something or someone. Faith is stronger than belief in one sense and can also believe in another. It is a powerful word because when people have faith, they trust in what is not actually visibly there. It is an unseen inspiration to accomplish a task, a goal, or success, whether it is supernaturally or secularly. Well, Elijah had faith. Elisha's faith operated, and he was moved and was blessed to operate in miracles. One of his miracles, the first one, was the shutting up of heaven. And for sake of time, I'm going to give you scriptures if you want to notate them or play this back on an archive so you can write these scriptures down. In 1 Kings 17 and 1, he had the miracle of shutting up heaven. James 5:17 through verse 20 as a reference, and Luke 4:23. Then there was a second miracle that he performed, which is found in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 14 through 16. He was multiplying the widow's meal. And then there's the third miracle that he did, was raising the widow's son. And you can find that also in 2 Kings chapter 7, chapter 17, verses 17 through 23. His fourth miracle was causing fire to come down from heaven. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 37 and 38. And I recommend that you read 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 21 through 41. Then his fifth miracle was causing rain to come down from heaven. So his first one was stopping the rain, and then his fifth one was to cause the rain to come down from heaven, which is 1 Kings, read chapters 41 through chapter 45. And this is good because so many times people preach about faith, people preach about miracles, people preach about what's going on, but it is time as believers that we open up the Word of God and read it for ourselves. Then there was the sixth miracle where he caused fire to come down from heaven. That's 2 Kings 1:10. And then it was a miracle seven was called the same. So he did the same thing again, 2 Kings 1:12. And then his eighth miracle was dividing the Jordan, which was 2 Kings 2:8. Now, it takes faith to operate in miracles. It takes faith to move mountains in the realm of the spirit. It takes faith that when you declare the blood of Jesus Christ over your life, when you declare that the angels of God are doing battles for you, because the battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord's. When you have faith, when believers have faith in God, not only does it do something in the inner man, in our attitude, in our mindset, in our worship, in how we feel, in how we think, it does something in our lifestyle. Our lifestyle will display faith. It takes faith to live holy. It takes faith to say no to sin. It takes faith to honor God in all you do. It takes faith to be honorable in your marriage when a husband and a wife are faithful to one another. It takes faith that when God says, pack up and go move and go thus and so, when the Lord speaks and gives you confirmation that you should go to another country, go to another city, go somewhere and do the work of the ministry. That takes faith, especially if you don't have the money to do it, especially if you don't see how it's going to be done. It takes faith to obey God. It takes faith not to do occult practices. It takes faith to believe and pray, Lord, I'm not going to take the low road and double in black magic and witchcraft and the occult and try to curse and speak evil on other people's lives or try to control other people's lives. Lord, I'm going to do it your way. Father, I'm going to bless them and pray for them. Father, I'm going to turn my heart and my mind to you, to pray to you and honor you in all I do. It takes faith to love someone when they have mistreated you. It takes faith to believe that if a loved one has an illness that they may die, the doctor's report. It takes faith to tap into the realm of the spirit and say, I will not. Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. I love that song. It takes faith that when someone walks up to you and looks you in the eye and tells you, you nothing, you won't be nothing, you never been nothing, and it takes faith to go, I am a child of the God. I am the child of the King. I am a child of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he said, my life is special. He said, my life is precious. He said, I'm victorious. He said, I'm a royal priesthood and a peculiar person. It takes faith to ignore the negativity and words of other people. It takes faith that when you feel rejected and cast aside by people and all alone, that you believe that all you need is the friendship of your God. It takes faith to believe that you have the ability to discern the signs of the times, and when you see how evil the days are, that you don't allow yourself to be sucked into the system, sucked into the sin, sucked into the changing things that the world is accepting as acceptable, and you know it's not acceptable in the Word of God. It takes faith to begin to look at somebody who you see talent in the workplace, and you may be in management, and rather than be intimidated by them and jealous of them and intimidate them, you take them and groom them, as I said, and nourish them and train them to be strong in their gifting. It takes faith to have patience with people who are unlovable. It takes faith to have patience with people who are rude and mean. It takes faith to deal with people who have dangerous mindsets. Faith. When we begin to have faith in God, when we begin to have faith in who we are in God, when we begin to have faith and begin to feel what God feels and see what God sees, when we begin to have faith and desire to do what he said do, when we begin to have faith and begin to say, Lord, I may not understand it, but because you said it, that settles it. Elijah had faith. It took faith to do what God said do. It took faith. You know, sometimes when you flow in the realm of apostle and prophet, or prophetess, or pastor, or teacher, evangelist, when you flow in your callings and you flow in your gifts, or the office of a bishop, and you begin to flow and you begin to wonder, oh, Lord, they gave me a call. They want me to come pray for their loved one that's yet on their deathbed. What I love about some of the people abroad from other countries, they don't look at the situation and the scenario as an objection. They don't look at it as a hindrance. If they see somebody dying, they have the faith to come together and work as a team and to have the power of agreement in the realm of the spirit to trust God. It takes faith to pray and to bind and to rebuke and cast the spirit of death off of someone. It takes faith that when your wife or your husband doesn't love you, you yet stand, you yet believe. Believing, you're yet understanding, you're yet trusting. It takes faith. The definition is also one of action. You will always see people doing a deed when there is faith. When people are people of faith and they know that they may not come up to the standards that other people who may have money, who may have resources, who may have all the high educational things going on, they may be on television. When a person has faith, they're not going to be intimidated. They may feel taken back a little bit because it's the goal of the enemy to try to discourage us. It's the goal of the enemy to try to belittle us. It's the goal of the enemy to make us feel small. But when a person has faith, they are going to demonstrate it by their works. James chapter 2, verses 17 through 18 says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you, I will show thee my faith by my works." Wow. When we have faith, we are going to demonstrate our faith. Elijah demonstrated his faith. Moses, delivering the people from the hands of Pharaoh, demonstrated his faith. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, begotten from God himself, God made flesh through man, Jesus Christ himself, it took faith to hang on that cross. It took faith to come among a people that the Spirit of God created. It took faith to say, for the joy set before me, I'll die. I'll endure the shame. I'll endure it because of the souls that are coming after I'm gone. It took faith for him to hang on that cross. It took faith for him to let them drill those nails through his wrist, part of his hand. It took faith for them to drill those nails through his feet. It took faith for them to pluck those hairs, for him to let them pluck those hairs from his cheeks. He was the Son of God. He could have stopped them. He could have destroyed the earth. He could have said, "Father, kill them because these people are sinful." But no, what he did was he distributed. He demonstrated faith at the cross. I'm getting excited here. Faith, faith, faith. If I could just drill that in, someone needs to hear this tonight. This is encouraging me. Glory to God. I'm telling you, to have faith is to have positively healthy emotion for a believer. When we depend on God totally and completely, faith doesn't focus on the circumstances at hand. And I got to say ouch and amen and ouch and move up. Because when we have faith and our faith begins to become matured in the realm of the spirit, we are not going to be totally cast down by the circumstances. We're not going to totally keep focusing on the circumstances at hand, because instead we are going to look toward a miraculous outcome with an unfavoring fervency. We're going to be expectant that God is going to move on my behalf. God is going to move in my situation. God is going to move in my battle. God is going to move in my finances. God is going to move in my health. God is going to move in my children's school. God is going to move in my children's hearts. God is going to move in everything which concerns me and my household. When you have faith, you begin to think that way. You begin to feel that way. You begin to trust that way. When you have faith, you will look and things, and they won't seem as big as they have been before. You'll begin to welcome the challenge, to welcome the opposition, to welcome the blows of the enemy. Why? Because a people of faith, followers of Jesus Christ, when we go down on our knees and we declare the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, we declare the power of the cross, all the blows of the enemy does is empower us. It empowers our anointing. It empowers our faith. It empowers the faith walk. It empowers the miracles walk. It empowers us with supernatural, dunamis, miraculous power that people cannot touch, that people cannot stop. When we are faith people, we declare the power of the blood. We are saturated in his presence. We are saturated in his anointing. And then he does battle for us. Wow, that's powerful. Now, Elisha, also, when Elisha had the faith, he saw when Elijah was taken up in the mantle. He saw when Elijah went up in the whirlwind of the chariot. And the mantle of Elijah fell on Elisha. And Elisha received a double portion than Elijah. The miracles of Elisha were double in number. They were like, for his request was, let a double portion of Elijah's spirit be upon me. And you can find this in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And so I gave you the list of the miracles of Elijah. Now we're going to go into the miracles of Elisha. Elisha received a double portion. 2 Kings chapter 2. The first one was dividing the Jordan River. That was chapter 2, verse 14. The second miracle was healing the waters, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 21. The third one was cursing the young men, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 24. The fourth one was procuring water for the three kings. That's in 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 16. Let me go back. Chapter 3, verses 16 and then 20, chapter 20. Procure. You may say, well, what does it mean to procure water? Procure is to acquire, to obtain, to get, to bring about, to act as a procurer. And you may want to go and study the word and get more of an understanding of clarity about the miracles that Elisha did. What I'm doing is sharing this word with you so that you can go forth. His fifth one was cursing the young men, 2 Kings 20, verse 24. It was multiplying the widow's oil, number 6, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Number 7 miracle was raising the widow's son, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 37. His eighth miracle was healing deadly pottage, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38. His ninth miracle was feeding the 100 men, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. His tenth miracle was healing of Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 19. His 11th miracle was the smiting of Jehazah. That's 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 20 through 28. His 12th miracle was causing the iron to swim. That was 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. His 13th miracle was opening the eyes of his servant, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. His 14th miracle was smiting the Syrian army with blindness, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 18. His 15th miracle was restoring their sight, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 20. And then arresting the king's messenger, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 30 through 33. And then a dead man was raised by touching his bones, 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. What am I saying? Faith. It took faith to walk in those miracles. Not only does it take faith to walk in miracles, it takes faith to live in miracles. It takes faith to live a righteous life. Do you know when you live a holy life to God, when you live a life where you relinquish everything to the Lord and trust God, that takes miracles. It's a miracle because the flesh is an evil, ungodly thing. Our flesh wants to do things that it shouldn't do. When we can walk a life of holiness and not be intimidated by people who love to sin, I am seeing in these end times that there are so many people that enjoy their sin. They don't want anything to do with God. Well, as followers of Jesus Christ, we cannot focus on that. We have to begin to focus on the people who want to come out of their sin, the people who want to hear a right now word, people who want God to breathe on them. People who want God to love on them and change them and mold them and shape them. When we have faith, we begin to change. Everything about us changes. Our prayer life changes. Our intimacy with God changes. Our time with Him changes. The way we see other people, when we see people that may come to us that may want to seduce us, we look past the outward shell of the seduction and we see their hurt and their pain and how they have need of deliverance and healing and restoration. We are going to come back with part two. We want to take a break. We want to play a song called Breathe. We want God to breathe on us tonight. Breathe on Us, sung by Michael W. Smith. Lord, breathe on us that we will receive the faith of God. Breathe on the people tonight, Father, that they will be strengthened in their faith. Breathe on the people tonight, Father, so that they will grow in the realm of the Spirit, so they can walk in miracles, signs, and wonders. You know, when we have faith, we reach out to God and we ask Him to breathe His presence on us, breathe His presence on our mind, breathe His presence on our spirit, breathe His presence on our soul. When we are truly hungry for something that's going to last, you know, this world's going to pass away. The cares and the affections and the desires of this world, they're all going to pass away. They're not always going to be there for us. And so isn't it time for us to begin to have faith in something that's eternal, to have faith in something that's going to last forever, to have faith in something that is real? You know, faith and works, when it comes to works, I mentioned in James about faith without works is dead. And it says faith and works then might be seen as two sides of the same coin. Our behaviors reveal what we really believe, and what we really believe will become manifested or made known in our behavior. In other words, the things that we believe for, the things that we have a passion or a hunger for, those things that we long for, when it's not God or if it is God, whatever it is that we're really all about, what our faith and belief system really is about, it's going to be seen before everybody. So in other words, if you're struggling with sin in certain areas, then that becomes an invitation to examine yourself to see where's your commitment really lies. Does our commitment lie in our flesh? Does our commitment lie in our faith? Does our commitment lie in a holy God, or does our commitment lie in saying that I worship myself and I can get what I want, and if I want that, I'm going to have that? Or does our faith rely on an all-powerful, all-knowing? You know, God knows everything about us. The devil doesn't know everything about us. That's why he works through people. That's why he works through cults. That's why he works through demonic entities, because what they do, they're channeled and traveled and pushed along people to monitor them and watch them and tap into their private life. But God doesn't have to do that. He's an all-seeing, all-powerful, all-knowing God. He knows everything that we're doing. He sees what we're thinking. Are you aware that the thoughts of your mind and the affections of your heart are a bright, shining light before your Creator? Are you aware that He can see everything about you, whether you speak it out of your mouth or not? Isn't it time to have the type of faith where you fall in love with Jesus? Isn't it time to have the type of faith where you desire Him more than you desire yourself? Isn't it time to trust God and to believe in Him? Well, we want to play a song for you here at Prayer Warrior For You Studio regarding falling in love with Jesus. It's time. It's a new year. It's time to grow your faith. Fall in love with Jesus Christ. Give Him a chance. Give Him an opportunity. You may say, well, I did that before. I tried that before. It didn't work for me. Well, you know, today is a new day. Try again. no, there is no place that I'd rather be than in the arms of an almighty Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when he can wrap his spiritual arms around your spirit, he can wrap his arms around your heart, he can wrap his arms around your mind. Some people are putting their faith in people, wanting to feel the caress and the touch of another person. It's time to reach out for your Savior, for your King, for your God, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can feel the comfort of what true love really is. True love is really the Lord. True love is really Jesus. And you know, you may say, well, how can I obtain faith? I've tried and I've been discouraged. Well, try again, as I said before the song. Try again. Don't box God in. Don't give him limitations. Don't say, well, I'm giving you a month, I'm giving you a week, I'm giving you this, and if you don't, God, you don't exist. No, he's almighty. Would you go to your boss and talk that way? Would you go to your parents and talk that way? Well, you know, the days and times we're living in, there are some people that have no respect for anybody of authority. I saw a woman once when the police was frisking someone in the neighborhood, and I saw her laying on her horn trying to make the police move. I'm telling you, people don't fear authority anymore. But when you begin to honor God in all you do, and you begin to respect a holy God, and you begin to respect authority, and you begin to honor and respect people's marriages, and you begin to honor and respect the realm that the person walks in, and whether it's ministry, whether it's workplace, when you more importantly respect the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, one way we can obtain faith, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do we hear about faith? How do we hear about the word of God? We have to be followers. We've got to become followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've got to begin to have a relationship with him. How do we hear about God? How do we hear about the Lord? Find a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled ministry, one where the people pray, one where the people teach the word of God from Genesis through Revelation, from cover to cover. Find a team of believers. Don't go in there with an agenda to pull someone down. Don't go in there with an agenda to seduce someone. Don't go in there with an agenda to cause someone to fall in sexual sin. Go in there with a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You owe it to your soul. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your peace of mind. You owe it to get to understand and learn who your soul loveth. You know, many times people are searching and looking and following and pursuing the wrong thing, the wrong people. People, why would you pursue people when you can pursue a holy, almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ? And in order to do that, faith is something that, oh, wow, how can I say it? It's a vehicle that's greatly used by believers. Faith, we believe in God. We believe in our Lord. We believe he is our Savior. Our souls belong to him. Our hearts belong to him. Our minds belong to him. Don't look at those that say they're followers of Jesus and they're still clubbing and they're still bed hopping and they're still doing things and yet they say they're going to heaven. They're not. But begin to read your word for yourself. Begin to open up the word of God on your own. Begin to develop a belief system, a faith system, and begin to practice that's in the Word of God. As you begin to practice what's in the Word of God, and you begin to understand and hunger for him, you begin to realize that he's for you. The Lord is for you, and he loves you, and he only desires the best things for you. Now, if you're wanting something that's according to his will and not your will, he will bless you. But so oftentimes we find ourselves pursuing after something that's not the will of God. It's the will of our flesh. But when we begin to pursue the will of God, the mind of God, the heart of God, the purpose of God, the desire of God, you will find your change coming. Your life will turn around. Your mind will turn around. Your passions will turn around. Your desires will turn around. You'll begin to see yourself the way God sees you. You'll begin to see that there's a whole different type of living, a whole different way of, you know, when I became born again, I'll tell you something. Everything was different. My eyes were opened. My hearing was different. My passions were different. When I began to learn about Jesus Christ, I didn't desire to constantly party at the club of dancing. I was never one to bed hop, but I used to be addicted to that dancing and just hanging out. I had thousands of friends. I still know a lot of people, but because we're all speaking the same thing, we're on one accord, the hearts and passions of the associations and the connections that I have love the Lord Jesus Christ. They love holiness. They love God. And more importantly, they have an intimate, communal, personal relationship with God Almighty. Glory to God. So there's healthy associations in my life. When I was younger, there weren't healthy associations. When we have faith, grace, it says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It mentions that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. When you begin to pursue faith, you'll begin to walk. The miracles in your life may not be the type of miracle that Elijah or Elisha did, as I shared earlier. But it will be a miracle that you can identify with. It will be a miracle that you can give a testimony. It will be a miracle that will turn your life around. It'll be a miracle that will dig down deep into the uttermost and the guttermost and gut up the root of the darknesses that you have aligned your lives with, some of you. Those of you that have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, it will elevate you to a different level in God. It will take you to a higher realm, because there are various degrees and kinds of levels of faith. And then you will begin to understand that God is for you. This is a beautiful song, "You Are For Me." And this is talking about God. God is for you. Why would you want to pursue people? If God be for you, he's more than the world against you. Be blessed.
You see me.
Father, I know that you are for me. And Father, I know that you are for those that are tuning into this show tonight. Father, we praise you and we honor you and we thank you, Lord, because you are a friend who sticks closer than a brother, Proverbs 18:24. We praise you and honor you because you are giving us greater faith and because you are faithful and true to us, Revelations 19:11. We thank and we honor you, Father, because you are a fountain of living waters, Jeremiah 17:13-14. We thank and honor you, Father, because you're a God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians 1:3. You're a God of all grace, 1 Peter 5:10. You're a God of hope, Romans 15:13. And you are an angel of his presence, Isaiah 63:9. You are the great Adonai, Jehovah, Genesis 12:2-8. And you are blessed and holy potentate, 1 Timothy 6:15. Father, we praise you, Lord God, according to Revelations 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. You know, when you understand that the Lord loves you and he is for you, you can go to him with all of your mess, with all of your baggage, with all of your woes. You can go to the Father and you can begin to worship him, and you can just bow down or sit down or stand up, however you desire to talk to him. Let the tears flow. That song is such a truly anointed song. Tears are in my eyes, how powerful that song is. There are some people hurting today because they don't understand. They don't realize that God is for them. If they would just give him an opportunity, if they would just open up their heart, if they would just praise God, if they would just say, Father, come on, right where you are right now. Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I come to you with all of my baggage. Say this with me. I come to you with all of my fears, all of my anger, all of my sin, Lord. And Father, I confess you as my Lord. I confess you as my King. I confess you as my God. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you died on the cross for me, and I believe you rose from the dead. I believe that all power is in your hands, Lord God. And Father, I confess you to be my King. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, you are starting on a road to developing a relationship. You have now did the sinner's prayer, and you're confessing God as your Lord, Jesus as your Lord. And now it doesn't stop there. Find a Bible church. Find a church that loves on people, that's filled with his Holy Spirit, that worships Almighty God, and begin your new walk 2015 on a road to success, to have a healed spirit. You know, many people have had broken marriages and broken relationships, and so they pursue people who are happily in their own their relationships because all they know is pain, all they know is hurt, all they know is destruction. It's time to have the type of faith to turn your life around. It's time to have the faith to pursue God. Well, we thank you for tuning into our show, Dealing with Faith, on today. And we pray that you have been blessed. And we want you to know that the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. God bless you. And thank you for tuning in to Prayer Warrior for You. You can hook us up on Facebook, or you can email us here on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you. We love you. And remember, it's not about anybody else. It's all about Jesus. Have a great night.
The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that fashioned against us to stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. The power of darkness comes in like a flood. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing love. The battle belongs to the Lord.